Hello and welcome to Juno Afternoon. It's December, December 2nd to be exact. We have a very interesting show today. We'll talk to Christine Crooks, one of the Plain Wayne painters involved with the show at the Jack this first Friday, which is Gallery Walk. Christy Chambora will be here to highlight the online KTOO auction. We'll get a preview of Juno Dance Unlimited's annual production of The Nutcracker. And Dov Gordonberg and Lindsay Cato will be talking about a very special forum this evening on mental health and wellness on suicide. That, much more. Stay tuned. We'll be back soon.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The tribes on the Wind River Reservation in Wyoming are waiting on an air quality request. Nearly 5 years ago, the Northern Arapaho and Eastern Shoshone tribes say they submitted an application to the federal government asking to be treated as a separate state for monitoring air quality. Wyoming Public Radio's Irina Zhorov reports.
Eastern Shoshone Tribe Chairman Darwin St. Clair says it's a matter of tribal sovereignty, as well as stewardship of their land. He says with a coal power plant and oil and gas fields nearby, air quality is a high priority.
If you lived in Wyoming for very long, you know that majority of the time the wind blows from the west to the east. And so where we're located, being east of Jonas Field and east of this plant, we are susceptible to air quality.
If the Environmental Protection Agency approves the tribe's request, they would be able to apply for grant money for air quality monitoring initiatives. St. Clair says the EPA, the Department of Interior, and the Department of Justice have been working with him to address jurisdictional concerns. But the Northern Arapaho tribe, fed up with delays on a decision, recently sent a letter to U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder saying the Justice Department is interfering with EPA's decision. For National Native News, I'm Irina Zhorov.
In Alaska, 25 years of collaborative research and science between the Chupik people and government agencies is being celebrated in a new book. Lori Townsend reports.
The title, Banding Together to Learn and Preserve, 25 Years of Goose Banding at Old Chivac, lays out the premise of this yearbook-style collection of pictures and science information gathered during the decades of bird banding. The work was prompted by declines in geese populations. USGS wildlife biologist Craig Ely got young people from Chivac involved. He said it helped build trust with the local people.
So that when we tell them, oh, that it doesn't bother the birds, they're more likely to believe it if they trust us as individuals. So that was a real big benefit of the project as well.
Chivac elder Leo Moses worked with FWS on banding projects for many years. The nearly 81-year-old teaches Chupik culture at the Chivac High School. He says traditionally people herded the geese into nets and caught them to butcher and dry. He showed FWS staff how to use the method to catch the birds for banding.
We learned to work together, that which is good. And when the children started going, helping herd and band them, well, that's educational.
Moses traveled from Chivac with James Ayuluk, who also teaches at the school and is the chief of the traditional council. It meant survival for Chupik people generations ago to be able to harvest the geese. Now, Ayuluk says, they've reduced the catch, plus there's new food in the area.
Like moose, 50 years ago wasn't there. Beaver, 30 years ago wasn't there. But we do catch geese. I try not to catch them as much. One dinner a month, that's good enough. I have beaver meat over here. There's moose meat over there. You know, other sources. If I want modern food, I'll go store, maybe have a burger or pizza.
An early 80s accord between local Native people and state and federal agencies resulted in the Yukon Delta Management Plan that was one of the first major agreements between Indigenous people and agencies to manage through limited harvest. In Anchorage, I'm Lori Townsend.
Payments in the historic Indian Trust class action lawsuit, Cobell v. Salazar, are expected to be mailed out in early 2014, according to the Garden City Group, the claims administrator. Membership is being finalized and shares are being calculated. Distribution will take place after court approval. The settlement involves the federal government's mismanagement of individual Indian Trust accounts.
Yeah.
In December 1980, the U.S. Postal Service issued a 19-cent stamp honoring Sequoia, the inventor of the Cherokee syllabary. He devised a set of characters and symbols to represent spoken syllables in the Cherokee language. Translation of Cherokee have been used in books, hymns, and the tribal newspaper. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Hello, you are listening to KTOO Juno. You are listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO News Juno, and it's December 2nd. I'm your Monday host, Joan Pardis. Jeff Brown's the producer and engineer of the show. He's at the board. As far as the weather today, strong wind through this afternoon. Sunny, windy, highs around 28, southeast wind 15 to 25 miles per hour. Wind gusts up to 40 miles per hour near downtown Juno and Douglas. I hear that Douglas is having a windstorm. Tonight, clear, lows 8 to 15, southeast wind 15 to 25 miles per hour. Tuesday, sunny, highs around 28. Tuesday night, partly cloudy. Wednesday, partly cloudy. Wednesday night and Thursday, mostly clear, lows 12 to 20. So it is going to be cold and clear. It might have been raining over Thanksgiving, but winter is here. December has started, and we all know what December means. December means Gallery Walk. The first Friday of every December is Gallery Walk, which is one of those iconic Juno events where all the galleries are open. It seems like everybody's out, bundled up, and seeing what kind of art, and there is so much art, is on display. So here in the studio with me right now is Christine Kirks, and she's one of the Plain Rain painters. They are having a show at the Jack this Friday for gallery work. Hi, Christine. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. How are you?
Great. So tell me about the Plain Rain painters.
Well, probably a lot of the listeners know that there's a group of people who've been painting together for about 10 years. It's an eclectic group. People sort of come and go as their motivation and jobs allow them. Primarily, we meet on Saturday mornings at the Foodland Shopping Center in that Glaston area at the grocery. And you grab a cup of coffee and we see what the weather's like and we choose a spot to go out and paint. Sometimes we even do what we call windshield paintings, where you're sitting in the front seat of a car looking through the windshield. But, you know, it's amazing how many good days we do have, and you just have to get out there and find a covered spot and capture the landscape. And that's what we do. We have a mailing list of about 40 people, but traditionally maybe 6 or 7 show up.
Wow, that sounds great. And is it all different types of mediums?
Yes. I used to do watercolor, which actually is not a really good outdoor medium for Juno most of the year. So I've switched to soft pastel, which works great outdoors. But we do have watercolorists, acrylic painting, oil painting. A lot of people just bring their sketching materials and work from that. A couple folks are really photographers and have branched into painting, but do a lot of photography when we're out and about as well. So we just really welcome people who are interested in having an opportunity to get out and see the environment and express it in some artistic way.
That sounds great. So I have something in front of me. There's this beautiful book of Plain Rain Paints Provence, and the date is September 14th through the 21st of this year. So a group of you went to Provence, is that true?
That is true, and this group, as I said, has been together for about 10 years, and we have found that one of the things we like to do is actually expand beyond Juno's borders and find other places that are fun to paint. So we've gone to Washington, to Oregon, to Turkey, to Italy, and this year we decided to go to Provence, the southern part of France. This is actually along the Côte d'Azur. Many, many famous outdoor painters. Plein air was really invented there, if you will. The painting companies had to actually create materials that could be taken outdoors once people decided they'd rather be outside painting than in a studio. And that's where we even got soft pastel. It took the pure pigment outside in a crayon format, and you can just immediately paint. You don't need, turpentine and rags and all of these other things. So anyhow, this group of people, we about a year ago, said, anybody interested in going to Provence for a week in September? My husband, Dean Guinelli, and I had located a spot in this part of the world, which was perfect for a group of people. So it turned out 15 people, 10 artists and their spouses decided to join us. And I have to admit, my husband is not a painter, but I guess I bored him enough that he decided to pick up some paints and started painting as well.
Oh, that's great.
I know. It's the first time. He's done lots of different kinds of art, but this was the first time he actually did two-dimensional, you know, media. And he did great. Everybody was quite impressed, and he'll even have a couple little paintings in the show this Friday.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
So the theme of this show this Friday is this trip. Is that correct?
It is this trip. Yes, it's Paints Provence. A lot of people were just in the 1 week were able to actually just begin many paintings. An example is a local artist, Sue Kraft. Many people are familiar with her work. She did dozens of little sketches and then returned to Juneau, and given the cold, dark, rainy time we've been having, she has now produced about 10 paintings.
Oh, wow, that's wonderful.
Large oil or acrylic paintings, which will be on display. So those paintings were conceived and sketched in Provence, but have been completed here in Juneau. And that's completely allowable.
Okay. What about your process? What about your pieces?
I'm going to exhibit four pastel paintings that I actually did on site. I also came back and tried to expand one of them into a larger oil painting. But for my work, I like the expression I get when I'm just right out there. We had some windy days and the bamboo was making noise, and I just feel like when I was there capturing it, I was happier with the finished work than to come back to the studio and, you know, turn on the radio. And it's not quite the same environment. So for me, my process is going out, finding something that appeals to me, both the look, the sound, the smells, and try to capture that on paper. I use pastel, and I do it on it's called Wallis paper. It's a bit like sandpaper. It really grabs the material, and it makes it very good for traveling because you never know exactly where your suitcase is going to end up.
Wow, that sounds great. If you're just joining us, we've been listening to Christine Crook. She's one of many of the Plain Rain painters. They went to Provence this September, and they're having a show the first Friday, which, of course, is Gallery Walk in December, this Friday at the Jack. And it probably starts around 4, as usual.
Right, 4:30, actually, 4:30 to 7 will be the time. We'll be right there at the Jack. We're expecting there'll probably be about 40 paintings being exhibited. 10 different artists will be showing their work. And the show will be up for the month of December. And we know that this is sort of a holiday giving time, and so we would ask that people who, if they did see something that they wanted to purchase as a gift, we would allow it to leave early. But we're really hoping to have the show up the month of December.
That sounds great. And what was really interesting, as you were discussing your process, that you really liked being where you were and you didn't want to bring it home, and then you talked about another artist and how they sketched and then they brought it home and worked here. It must be such a great collective energy as far as the group itself to have all these different artists with all these different processes. It must be so much fun.
It is. And I think that there's something about the camaraderie. Everybody sort of gets to a spot and then sort of spreads out, and somebody likes the view north and somebody likes the view to the beach. But what we were able to do while we were there, we were spread out along a large property, but we would have sort of a evening soirees a couple times where people just brought their works in progress and we put them out. And it isn't that we do rough critiquing, but if somebody says, what do you think I should do next, we certainly have lots of ideas and we'll give feedback if requested. But it does inspire, I think, certainly myself, to see what other people are doing. And when you spend an hour or two sitting down looking closely at grapevines, you really know grapevines. And we were in a working vineyard. It was harvest time. Everything about the trip was just beautiful.
Oh, that sounds great. So if you want to see a little bit about that trip, that's going to be at the Jack starting at 4:30 this Friday for Gallery Walk Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh,
today,
you're very
Christine.
Welcome. Thanks.
Grandma Moses.
Grandma Moses loved embroidery, sewed into her 17 arthritis, made her hands too hurt, picked up her brush and got to work. Grandma, Grandma Moses saw her paintings on a wall. Mr. Calder bought them all, showed them at the modern art. That's how Grandma got to start. Grandma, Grandma Moses, she was 76 when she started to paint. Old-timey pictures, survivors so quaint.
Get 'em, Grandma. It is Juno Afternoon on KTOO News Juno. I'm Joan Pardis, your Monday host. Jeff Brown's the producer and engineer of the show. And in the studio right now is Philip Crowder, the executive director of the artistic director of Juno Dance Unlimited, which is changing its name pretty soon.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And Michael Galloway, who's the guest artist who will be playing the Cavalier in another. We were just talking about holiday traditions for Juno. It's the Nutcracker.
Great,
so, Michael,
classic.
Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
Philip, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, John.
So let's talk about this year's Nutcracker. How many people are in it?
Well, we have the biggest Nutcracker yet. And I think last count was 75 people.
Oh, my. That's
oh,
a
yeah.
lot. Holy.
Yes. Yeah, I know. We started doing this about 8-9 years ago. It was like 20 people, and it just keeps expanding and expanding. It's amazing. Large cast, lots of children, lots of exciting things happening.
Yeah. What's the age range?
It goes from about age, I'd say, 8 to adult, you know.
Wow. That sounds wonderful.
And everything in between. Yeah, and this year we have our guest artist coming, Michael Galloway, who's going to be our Cavalier with our Sugar Plum Fairy, a local dancer, Gabrielle Duvernay.
Oh, yes.
And we also have another guest artist, Matt Doolin, who's going to be our Snow King.
Oh.
Dance with Anouk Otzi,
mm-hmm.
another JDT dancer. I'm going to start saying JDT.
Oh, what is the new name?
The new name is going to be Juno Dance Theater.
Okay, Juno Dance Theater.
We decided to change the name.
Sounds good.
Yeah,
so Anouk and Gabby are local
yes.
girls who have been
doing really well.
Oh my gosh, yes, yeah. doing really well. They've uh-huh. been going outside for more
many
training.
Summers. They go yeah. they go train in the summer at
yeah.
big ballet academies and schools, you know, around the country,
yeah,
company
right.
schools, and they're just amazing.
Very good.
Kids. They work so hard. Yes,
they do. So Michael, you're here in Juno. You're going to come. You were here 2 years ago, right?
I was here 2 years ago.
And you're based in San Francisco now?
Yes, I am. I dance with a company, C Contemporary Ballet, throughout most of the year, and then for Nutcracker, I guess. Here as well as other places.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Yeah.
So is it fun to come in and parachute into a small company like ours? I mean, it's a large company for us, but in you know, comparatively speaking, I imagine it's small.
No, it's like absolutely thrilling. Like, I love doing it. I love coming in, and I'm getting to dance with somebody who's still like an aspiring dancer, a student. And so that really is a great opportunity for me to like to help her and to just be with somebody who's really working, you know, to improve themselves.
Right. It must be a great opportunity for the dancers.
Oh, yes, yeah. The girls we have at our school now have reached the stage of development where they can start taking on these challenging roles, these hard point pieces and pas de deux and solos and variations. It's just really wonderful to see them develop. And I know the Juno audience, dance audience, you know, is seeing the same dancers year after year, and every year they get better and better and better. It's just so entertaining to watch that.
That sounds great. Mm-hmm. So when can we go see the show? When is it?
Well, the show is going to be this coming weekend, December 6th. That's Friday at 7 p.m. And then Saturday, there's two shows. There's a 2 p.m. matinee and a 7 p.m. Performance on Saturday the 7th. And then a final Sunday, 2 p.m. matinee on December the 8th. Okay. So that's the weekend, the 6th, 7th, and 8th.
Okay, and that's all at the Juno Douglas High School?
Yes, at JDHS Auditorium.
Okay.
Yes. And we this year also we're going to have all new snow costumes. We were able to get a money donation from Nat, a generous donation, and so the snow scene this year is going to be really spectacular, looking beautiful, beautiful costumes, which we're really thrilled about. And, of course, we're going to have Michael Galloway and Matt Doolin here dancing, and they're both wonderful professional dancers, and it's going to be really thrilling to watch.
It sounds great. It was so funny because yesterday we've been out of town and my family was sitting down yesterday and we said, so, you know, it's December now. We have to make, you know, our plans. What do we want to do? And it was like, Nutcracker. We want to see the Nutcracker, which is great because last year we weren't in town. So we're really looking forward to it.
Yeah,
so,
it's a holiday classic for the whole family. You know, everybody, you know, loves the Nutcracker Ballet. It's something that they associate with Christmas holidays and, you know, all ages can relate to it, young children, adults. It's got everything in it.
And also, I want to say, Philip, what you've been doing with the kids and all the students, I know you have adult students too, it's really amazing, the pool of talent and also how you're working with that talent. And Michael, probably it's interesting for you to come in, and it's probably fun to be working with a whole wide variety of talent
as
well.
Yeah, I love when age groups are like all intermingled and stuff. I think it's kind of, it can be kind of dry, like, I know in school, you know, you're just like grade by grade by grade, everybody's like separated. But to see like old people working with young people, working with, you know, relationships.
Yeah, and we have experienced dancers and adults. And, you know, the thing about the Nutcracker, it's wonderful, is you get so many kids into it. It's one of the few ballets that you can do that involves that many children, elementary age children and middle school age children. It gives them a lot of experience being on stage, experiencing the fine art of dance, of classical ballet training, performing arts. It's really, really vital to their training as artists to be able to get on the stage and perform. And so, and the kids are just thrilled. They're looking forward to being on the stage this weekend.
Oh, I bet they're ready. All righty. Well, thank you so much for coming in, and we're looking forward to it. And Philip?
Yeah, I'd just like to say that, you know, tickets are available online at jack.org, at Heartside Books, or at the door. Adults are $20, seniors $15, students, youth, or UAS students are $15, and there are group discounts available. And you can also call 463-5327 for more information, or go online at junodance.org for information.
That sounds great. Let's talk about the groups. What is a group?
Oh, a group discount?
Mm-hmm.
That would
like
be
10?
Four or more.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, so it's really, actually, it's four or more.
Okay. I was thinking more like 10, so that's great to know.
Yeah, no, it's a really good, so like a family of four, you know, or a group of four people who want to come see the Nutcrackers, you get a discount. It's really a wonderful opportunity. And we would love to have lots of groups come see us this weekend.
That sounds great. And since the group is only four, that's pretty easy. So once again, it's Friday night at 7, Saturday 2 and 7, and Sunday at 2. Don't miss it. Okay. Thank you so much for coming in. Hello, you're listening to Juneau Afternoon on KTOO News Juneau. It is 3:27 p.m. in Alaska's capital city and throughout Alaska, actually. And that was a Nutcracker. That was a piece we were just listening to. The Nutcracker by Juneau Dance Theater is this weekend, Friday, Saturday at 7 p.m., Saturday and Sunday at 2 p.m. at JDHS. The guest artist, one of the guest artists was just here. Sounds like it's going to be a great show this year.
Yeah, everyone saw it last year.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. Good.
And that's Frank Tess, who is talking. He's a KTOO employee, and he is here to talk about the KTOO auction.
Right. Yes, we have our annual, or I think we have a couple times a year, auction. This time it's a little bit different than usual in the fact that we're doing it all online. So it's actually great for you because you can go on, you can look at them, you can make your bidding there. So it's all on KTOO.org. We have items of the day. I think today is it's this beanie from TP Alaska Designs. You know, the bidding is going on right now, so go in and bid. I know they sold out of these at the public market over this last weekend, so I think this is your last chance to get this beanie. They have a picture. I was checking it out. I might make a bid myself. But it goes until 4 p.m. today, so everyone should go on there and make their bid right now.
Not much time left. You better go and check it out and see if this is the beanie, the one and only beanie of its kind in Juneau up for sale.
Like you were saying, they have items of the day pretty much every single day. And the auction goes until Thursday at 12:15. So only a couple more days. And if you're thinking about doing all your Christmas shopping, now is the time to go check that out. So,
right. And what I like about this online is that you don't have to be like hovering at the silent auction tables at these events that, you know, you're elbowing your neighbor out of the way, or you're hovering or sending your children to go back and say, no, put another $2.
Are you sure you want that? Because I want it.
Exactly. So this is like eBay. You have your anonymity.
You just know
what you really want to go for and what your limit will be.
And they do. And if you're worried about a lot of them have will send it to you. You know, you can check that to ask for us to send it. But all of them you can come pick up at the station. Come check out the station while you're down here. And, you know, we have things like Alaska Airlines tickets. Eagle Crest is opening this week, I think. So now's a good time to go get those buddy passes. I know we still are not buddy passes, group passes. So like 10 visits or whatever they are. I think we have 10 and 5. Time to go get those before the season starts. We have McDonald's, gym memberships, you know, getaways. Like, I think there was one for Panama or something.
Yeah,
like
I think there
that.
Is.
So,
Frank, do you have an eye on something, or will you divulge it on the air, or are you trying to hoard it?
Well, I like to keep myself very sneaky. And
you're not good at
it. No, I don't know. I was looking through them all. I think the beanie was pretty cool, actually, the one I was checking out. And I know them. They see them at the public market every year, and they make fantastic stuff. So
yeah, I looked online, and then I also looked at the insert in the Juneau Empire.
Yeah.
And we have our own little bidding stuff going on, but I'm not divulging because I don't want to. I want to support the station,
right.
But I don't want to drive the price of my own things up.
That's a good idea.
So, Frank, you work in membership, right?
Right.
I
work in development.
Development.
Right.
That's what I thought. I'm sorry about that. So, as far as development, these auctions are like really crucial as far as operating.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I mean there's a lot of different ways people contribute to the stations and. One of our fundraising methods is the auction every year, and this is a new way that we're doing it, so we're hoping people will jump on board. And, you know, it takes away it, or now it makes it a little easier for the listener because it doesn't interrupt some of their regular view or listening times, you know. I know we'd go on like the weekends and cut into some of your favorite things, so we're trying this out, and hopefully it works out for the best.
Yeah, have you seen is it too soon to say if has there been more traffic than usual, or it's too soon to say? You have to wait until it's all done and then look at the data?
Probably have to wait until it's all done, I would imagine. I know there. I think there is a little tracker on the website, too. So you have to go check that out. I think it's a little too early to tell, but so far, from what I understand, it's been received pretty well.
Well, the buzz that I hear is very positive,
they really like it.
So all the auction items are at ktoo.org online. You could bid just kind of like eBay is what I...
Yeah, I think that's what I understand, too.
Yeah, because I did a few, and it seemed to be really easy. It's really easy and user-friendly.
And it shows what they're worth as well, you know, so you're like, oh, you can show the discount that you're getting, so it's fantastic.
Right. And I think if you're a complete technophobe, that you can still call. Is that true or no?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and that's the 800 number?
Yeah. You can also contact Christy, who's in charge of a lot of it, and she can answer your questions. I think she's at 463-6426, I'm pretty sure, and she should be able to answer some of these as well.
Okay. Well, great, Frank. Thanks for the update. So that beanie is still...
That beanie's on there for like another half hour or something, so hop on it.
Till 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock, that's right.
All righty, thanks.
Yes.
Thanks for coming in.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 2nd of December, 2013. It's the birthday of the novelist Anne Patchett, born Los Angeles, 1963. Grew up Catholic, went to an all-girls Catholic school in Nashville, where she still lives. Anne Patchett, who said, "Catholicism really trained me for fiction writing. I think it has to be the greatest religion for a fiction writer, because it is so much a tradition of story and parable. I spent my whole childhood on my knees in front of pieces of carved marble, and in my heart I was filling that stone with enormous life." Anne Patchett, who went to Sarah Lawrence, where one of her teachers was Grace Paley, Anne Patchett said, "Grace Paley taught me that writing must not be compartmentalized. You don't step out of the stream of your life to do your work. Work was the life, and who you were as a mother, teacher, friend, citizen, activist, and artist was all the same person." Anne Patchett, author of Bel Canto, Truth and Beauty, State of Wonder. It's the birthday of George Saunders, born in Amarillo, Texas, 1958, author of Civil War Land in Bad Decline, Pastoralia, Persuasion Nation, writer for The New Yorker. He grew up on the south side of Chicago, and he went off to a mining school and studied geophysical engineering, although he had always wanted to be a writer, and even though he admired the writer Thomas Wolfe. He said, "I liked him because he was epic and broken-hearted and sloppy and emotional and in love with the world, and wrote sentence after sentence beginning with the word oh, as in, oh, Brooklyn, harbinger of cruel autumn. I loved his big-heartedness and the way, apparently, he had just taken his life and made a huge book out of it." George Saunders graduated from college, went to Asia to work in oil fields. He held a string of jobs in places like wastewater plants and military installations, which he said sort of tempered his sentimental streak. And he started writing. He said, "Any claim I might make to originality in my fiction is really just the result of this odd background, basically just me working inefficiently with flawed tools in a mode I don't have sufficient background to really understand, like if you put a welder to designing dresses." Here's a poem for today by Edgar Allan Poe, a poem from 1849, A Dream Within a Dream. "Take this kiss upon the brow, and in parting from you now, thus much let me avow. You are not wrong, who deem that my days have been a dream. Yet, if hope has flown away in a night or in a day, in a vision or in none, is it therefore the less gone? All that we see or seem is but a dream within a dream. I stand amid the roar of a surf-tormented shore, and I hold within my hand grains of the golden sand. How few, yet how they creep through my fingers to the deep. While I weep, O God, can I not grasp them with a tighter clasp? O God, can I not save one from the pitiless wave? Is all that we see or seem but a dream within a dream?" A Dream Within a Dream, a poem by Edgar Allan Poe from 1849. That's the Writer's Almanac, supported by Lumosity. Lumosity.com's daily online workouts are designed to improve memory and attention and are dedicated to helping people feel sharper, think faster, and remember more. More at Lumosity.com. Produced by Joy Biles with assistance from Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Tonight on 360 North at 8, Reindeer, Tundra Gold considers the role of Alaska's herds in providing for food security on Science for Alaska. At 9, Consider the Conversation, a documentary on a taboo subject, explores multiple perspectives on end-of-life care, drawing on experiences of patients, family members, doctors, nurses, clergy, and social workers. Tonight on 360 North and 360north.org. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
Juneau.
Ketchikan.
We come from different places.
Sitka.
Haines.
We come to different conclusions.
Half empty.
Half full.
But when we live united, we can make a real difference in the building blocks of life.
Children succeed in school. Families gain financial stability. The health of our neighbors improves, and suddenly, so do our communities.
Real change won't happen without you.
Help make a difference in your community by supporting United Way of Southeast Alaska. Learn more at UnitedWaySeak.org.
This is Bird Note. These weird calls come from a crested caracara, one of North America's most charismatic birds of prey. Caracaras are tropical birds, but they're common in Texas, and an isolated population lives in Florida. With their big beak, shaggy crest, red face, and striking black and white plumage, caracaras are eye-catching. Their name comes from the rattling sound of their calls. Although members of the falcon family, caracaras look like small eagles. But their behavior is pure caracara, striding through the grass on long legs as they hunt for small animals of all kinds. Although the national symbol of Mexico is the golden eagle, popular knowledge has often attributed that honor to the crested caracara. The caracara is widespread and familiar, and it was sacred to the Aztecs. It also seems fearless as it looks down on you from a tall cactus. It eats anything and is equally happy pouncing on a snake or scarfing up roadkill. Did I say fearless? A caracara will face off against a vulture twice its size. You can see a National Geographic video of a gang of young caracaras getting into a lot of trouble. Begin at our website, birdnote.org. I'm Michael Stein. Today's show brought to you by the Lufkin Family Foundation.
Okay, we're back. You're listening to Juneau Afternoon on KTOO News Juneau. It is 3:40 p.m. in Alaska's capital city. I'm Joan Partis, your Monday host. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. He's at the board. Tonight at 7 on KTOO, Dr. Elaine Schroeder will be back with her live show, Mind Over Matter, one of these great homegrown KTOO shows. This week's program will focus on possible erroneous assumptions that Western psychology has made about what we call human nature. Her guest will be Gary Weglars. I'm sorry if I mispronounced that, a Juneau psychotherapist who recently presented a paper at a national conference on this assumption-shattering topic. So tune in this Monday to KTOO tonight from 7 to 8 for a stimulating hour of discussion on just how culture-bound are our theories of human behavior. Pretty interesting. And also interesting is here in the studio, we have Dov Gardenberg, the executive director of NAMI, the National Alliance of Mental illness here in Juneau, and Lindsay Cato, who is with the Suicide Prevention Coalition. And they're here to talk about an event tonight that's happening at Bartlett from 5:30 to 7. It's part of NAMI's monthly forum called Inside Passage, and tonight's topic is suicide. So welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
So, Dove, can you tell us a little bit about NAMI's monthly forum? And then I'd love to talk to Lindsay about what she's going to be talking about tonight.
Well, Inside Passages was set up as a monthly forum on mental wellness, mental health and wellness, to really give us a chance to go into depth in various topics and concerns on these issues. And we've had now, this is our sixth Inside Passage, so it's with some very, very interesting topics over the last 8 months, and we're very excited to do this program on suicide prevention tonight.
Right, and this Inside Passage, the monthly forum, you partner with all different types of community members?
Right, we've done programs. Last month we did the Affordable Care Act, about the health insurance, and we've also worked with other therapists and psychiatrists and people in town on different topics. So this, of course, is a very important topic during the holiday season. So we wanted to bring Lindsay, who's a wonderful speaker, I might add, to talk about this.
That's great. So tonight's topic is called Saving a Life, Essentials of Suicide Prevention and Helping to Heal After Loss. So, Lindsay, you are with you are the Community-Based Suicide Prevention Service Coordinator for Juneau Youth Services and the Juneau Suicide Prevention Coalition.
It's a long title, yeah.
Yeah, is that
That's
true?
Exactly,
yeah. So tell us about the work that you do and a little bit about the topic that what you'll be talking about tonight at the Inside Passage.
Yeah, so the work that I do varies all the way from prevention to postvention, so preventing suicides, a little bit of intervention work and intervention trainings, as well as after suicide loss, helping families to grieve and making sure that families have resources in the community. So tonight, I remember when Dove first started the idea of Inside Passages, and so I'm really lucky that I was able to connect with him and we're able to do this, especially during the holiday season. We have, it's kind of all of those things that I do on a daily basis. We're going to be combining them into one forum where I can talk about all the way from prevention and kind of understanding the suicidal individual, because sometimes there's a lot of misconceptions and a lot of stigma towards suicidal individuals. So we're going to be talking about that, how to recognize signs of the suicidal person, and then also intervention steps on making sure that you can keep somebody safe if you do recognize the signs. And the last portion, I'm really going to focus on supporting our loved ones through the holidays. For a lot of families that have lost someone to suicide, the holidays can be really difficult, and so I just want to make sure people are prepared for that.
Well, that sounds like a fascinating informative talk this evening. And that's at Bartlett. And where is it in Bartlett?
It's in the administration building in the second floor boardroom.
Okay.
So as you're turning into the hospital, on the left are buildings. That's the administration building, the first building. You don't want to go into the hospital itself in the second floor. And it'll be at 5:30.
Okay. Lindsay, who do you think should come to this talk tonight?
I think everybody, not just people that have lost someone to suicide, but those who may have known someone who knows someone. This is really geared towards the whole community, not professionals in particular, not one individual, but really for the whole community. And so I've worked really hard to try and make it applicable in all sorts of areas, whether you work in the schools, whether you work for the city, all sorts of those.
Okay. And we don't have a tremendous amount of time to go in depth, but I do have some questions for you. If you could give us a snapshot on what is going on with suicide in Juneau. We know that it's a huge problem in Alaska. Can you give us a little snapshot of what is actually going on in Juneau?
In Juneau, well, we're focusing a lot on suicide prevention in the high schools. We know for right now that's one of the easiest places for us to actually implement programs for prevention. So right now we have the Sources of Strength program that's going on in actually Thunder Mountain, JDHS, Yakus, and then also DZ. From Tikihini Middle School. And what that is a peer leadership program that's working towards really combining the students, making them one, breaking down barriers to mental illness, really working on school connectedness and inclusiveness. And hopefully, I mean, suicide is so multi-issued. You know, there's so many things that go on with suicide. And so breaking down the bullying, you know, making sure that people feel supported with families and friends and school and all sorts of things. So we're doing that inside the schools. We're working a lot with UAS and really trying to put stuff out into the community as far as advertisement of the care line. As far as numbers go of suicides that take place in Juneau, statewide, I'm not going to give individual numbers, but statewide we're known to have twice the national average each year for the rate of suicide. And so that can be pretty shocking for a lot of us, but when you put those percentages into actual people and you realize the number of people that it affects, I mean, it affects basically our whole community.
It does. It does. And so you're, of course, listening to Lindsay on the radio, so you can't see her, but she's a young woman. I would say she's probably under 30.
I'm 24, yeah.
Okay, so I didn't want to, you know, I just was a wild guess. Don't think you look 30, but I just didn't want to insult you in any way. So how did you get, you know, so you're she's definitely a peer, close to a peer to your target audience of high school mm-hmm. and university. It's not somebody who's ancient.
As
I make fun of everyone else in this room. But Lizzie, how'd you choose this as your career path?
Well, it's interesting. I was studying public health at Oregon State University my second to last year, because I fifth year. I lost 3 people to suicide within a 6-month period of time, and that just altered the course of my studies. Here I was studying all of these health promotion and prevention programs, and I thought to myself, well, I should really be studying suicide prevention. And so I started digging deeper and deeper into suicide prevention in the state of Alaska. And it's funny, I chose suicide prevention as my main finishing project for school when everybody else is studying obesity prevention and all these other great things, but that don't apply really to Alaska right now when suicide is such a huge issue. So I got some funny looks when I said, oh, this is what I'm going to do my paper on. After that, after graduation, I took an internship with the Statewide Suicide Prevention Council, and then I took a job with Juneau Youth Services, and actually NAMI was holding the grant at the time, and it's just been a passion of mine ever since. And so I feel like I've really done those who I've lost to suicide, I feel like I've done them proud, and that makes it all worth it.
Right. And I'm sure you believe that the work you do can prevent suicide. Can you talk a little bit about what the normal Jane and John could do? Like you were saying, being able to identify, I'm not mm-hmm. saying to go in as in-depth as you're going mm-hmm. to go tonight, but just if there's a few talking points that people could put it in their back pocket so we all become a little more aware and maybe a little more helpful.
Yeah, so a lot of times it's just normal for all of us not to ask questions or pry into other people's lives when maybe we notice something. So I'm really going to be encouraging people to ask questions. Ask a person, you know, are they having thoughts of suicide? But also be prepared for the answer yes, and prepare yourself with what's available around in the community. And so when somebody does say, you know, yes, I am having thoughts of suicide, you're able to point them in the right direction on where they can get help. Because we have this in our culture, just this fear of discussing these personal issues. And everybody wants to respect privacy. But when it comes to saving a life, you kind of may have to make the decision to kind of break that boundary and ask the question.
And are there telltale signs? I mean, I know that it's not one size fits all and everybody mm-hmm. goes about this
yes.
in the same exact way as far as exhibiting signs. But are there signs that these are really red flags that people should be aware of?
We do. Some people start to give away their belongings, things that pets, making sure the house is in order, finances are taken care of, possibly working on their will. You've got things such as statements, like, I just can't do this anymore, I just can't be here, I just want to sleep forever. And so these are kind of little cues that maybe sometimes we brush off walking around. But when you combine all of these things along with maybe loss of interest in church or school or sports or activities, and maybe you don't want to go skiing this year, you start isolating yourself a little bit. And those are all of these signs kind of put together kind of throw up red flags, whereas maybe one of these signs people just brush off, but all of them combined can make for a very huge red flag.
And there's overlap with mental illness, of course, and depression.
Lots.
So you know, sometimes the suicidalities arise later. Sometimes it presents really early. So the reason NAMI, of course, is very supportive of this type of talk is to help people have greater mental illness awareness. This mental illness obviously is a very big factor in suicide in many cases.
Right. If you are just joining us, we're talking to Dov Gardenberg of NAMI, the National Alliance of Mental Illness here in Juneau, and Lindsay Cato of the Juneau Suicide Prevention Coalition. And tonight at Bartlett, at the administration building on the second floor from 5:30 to 7, they're having a talk, Saving a Life, Essentials of Suicide Prevention and Helping to Heal After Loss. Seems like a perfect fit for NAMI and what you're talking about, because what you're both talking about is there's power and awareness. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm hearing. Is mm-hmm. that true?
Definitely. Definitely with mental illness and suicide, there's this stigma that we are constantly trying to overcome in the prevention work and the support work that we do. So really being able to communicate to the public that talking about it and giving people knowledge and education on it is really powerful.
Right. And one more time, this talk tonight, it's free from 5:30 to 7 at Bartlett. Who's the target audience? Who do you think would benefit
Everyone.
From this?
Everyone. I would like to see. I can't think of anybody that I wouldn't want to see there. You know, it's from age range from, you know, even middle school to adults. I mean, I think it'll be appropriate for all of them.
If you've had someone in your life who's been severely depressed
mm-hmm.
or exhibited despair, or you have a person you work with who's shown similar tendencies and you didn't really know what to do, this is a really good talk to come to and really hear some very, very clear, lucid ways of that you, ways you can help a person.
Right. And with our suicide rate twice the national average, mm-hmm. Alaska's suicide rate twice the national average, it's something that obviously impacts everybody.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Really. So let me ask you a few more questions. Lindsay, how long have you been with the Juneau Suicide Prevention Coalition?
It's actually been a year yesterday. Okay. So I took the job December 1st, and actually Dov was my supervisor. Dov hired me. So,
I'm very proud that I got hired.
And it's just kind of been a great ride since. And so getting to work with kids and adults and just everybody in Juneau has been wonderful to work with.
That's great. And then, Dov, you joined NAMI about...
Just really a little more than a month before Lindsay came in late October.
So my question is in the year and change, year and a day and year and 29 days, Are you seeing the power of the awareness? Are you seeing the information? Are you seeing a different are you feeling a different temperature in the community? Or are you seeing the impact of the work that you're doing?
Well, it's hard to say. Some days I feel like, wow, you know, things are really going the way that I'd like them to. But we do have days, and you do hear about loss, and you know, we've had loss, and. To me, it's hard not to feel like, oh, what else can I do? What else can I do? But I do think overall in a community, I do see, even with the inside passages, the number of people that have been coming to these, the number of people who are reaching out for information, even on our website hits, looking through that, it's been remarkable. And we've been increasingly seeing more website hits on our mental health website and our suicide prevention website, which has been amazing.
That's great. And what about you, Dov?
I guess it's hard to do metrics on this, because say if you help someone, you prevent a suicide, right? That person's not going to go dancing in the street mm-hmm. and say, hey, I'm now okay. It's sometimes a hidden, a quiet thing. But we do see, the metric we do use in NAMI is how many people are coming to our support groups. Mm-hmm. How many are coming to the family class to learn about mental illness awareness, or coming to these programs, or getting active as activists? So that we have had a definite, we've had an increase in membership and increase in activity, and we're hoping to open a program, very excited about, called NAMI Basics, which is it's a class for families with children below 18. Where the suicide rates can be very high, especially in adolescents, but to have a program helping families deal with a diagnosis or signs of mental illness. So the earliest intervention you can do in a case of mental illness is the most effective. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to really, really focus on early intervention.
That sounds like there's the need, and the need is being met, and it just seems like the information temperature, if you were going to see a temperature gauge, is just rising and rising and rising, which is obviously very crucial. So is there an 800 number? Is there a website for a junior?
There is. Okay. There's a Caroline number.
Can
let me make sure. I normally have it memorized. I'm afraid it's 1-877.
Okay, we'll find it. And you, of course, could search this online.
Yes, it's the Alaska Caroline number. And then we also have, there's a search helpline number and there's a national line.
Right. And 211 also helps, doesn't it?
And the NAMI website, www.namijuno.org, has a helpline tab. You go to the website, you'll see a helpline tab, and that will have all the emergency care lines.
Okay. We are going to have to wrap up the show, but Dov Gartenberg from NAMI, the National Alliance Mental Illness here in Juneau, and Lindsay Cato from the Juneau Suicide Prevention Coalition, thank you so much for coming. Tonight's the talk from 5:30 to 7 at the Bartlett Regional Hospital Admin Building on the second floor. You've been listening to Juneau Afternoon on KTOO News Juneau. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. Tomorrow, I am going to be back to host again, and we'll be talking about theater scholarships, about the Affordable Care Act. Another NAMI project. Crystal Berlin will be here
Crystal.
Talk about that.
She's great.
Larry West will be here with news about a partnership between Discovery Southeast and Foggy Mountain, and we'll be talking about what's going on at JDHS and the 800 number for suicide prevention. Crisis intervention is 877-266-4357. Thank you for listening to Juneau Afternoon on KTOO News Juneau. Have a great day. Okay, it's Joan Pardis back with the weather. Tonight, clear, patchy fog, late lows 9 to 17, northeast wind 10 to 20 miles per hour with locally higher gusts in the evening near downtown Juneau and Douglas. Tomorrow, sunny, patchy fog in the morning, highs around 25, east winds 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly clear, lows 11 to 19, northeast wind 10 miles per hour shifting to the southeast late. Wednesday, sunny, Wednesday night, mostly clear, Thursday through Friday, mostly clear, Friday, clear, Saturday, mostly cloudy. Chance of snow on Sunday. Sunny all the way through. Have yourself a great day. All Things Considered is next.
This is KTOO Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. We rebroadcast on translators K276AF in